Well, there is, of course, the incident that took place where this man living in the suburb was shot down by the police in his home five times. That, of course, was the initiating spark. But what we have seen here is what always happens in societies where you have inequality, where you have marginalization, where you have poverty. And it's that the poorer classes tend to rise up from time to time.
The trigger of the riots has been the death of this old man, yes, killed by the police. Lots of people consider his death caused of police racism. Do you agree?
Yes, there is a problem with institutional racism within the police. Just when you called me, what I was dealing with was an incident where I have been told about an Afro-Swedish man in Malmö last week that was apprehended by the police where they broke his wrist. And instead of taking him to the hospital, they left him in jail all night. These aren't, you know, isolated incidents. This is something that keeps occurring. And the problem is that the politicians in Sweden, they have this systemic blind spot to racism. So they never address the issue of racism. It's always something else. And that's what we also see here in the when it concerns the so-called riots in Husby and the suburbs. They never discuss the question of racism. It's just the questions of integration. The few people that are burning the cars are, of course, youth that are, to 99%, they're born in Sweden. So these are Swedish kids, and still they see this as integration issues instead of talking about the racism that these youths are reacting to. So that's a problem.
So we'd say racism and marginalization are the main reasons for now,
yes,
right?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And we shouldn't be surprised, because if you look at the history of Europe, I think the history of Europe is the history of how the marginalized and the oppressed always try to rise up. And what you have is the controlling classes try to contain them. What we have today, as a result of, you know, colonialism and racism, we have that the former colonized peoples are now living within the borders of Europe in European cities, and we are reproducing colonialism because they are the poor ones, they are the new lower classes. So it's just, you know, a class struggle that has racist overtones. And also, I think that concerns me is that here in Sweden, since you have the government and the opposition are debating this as if there is a difference between them. In the major political TV program that analyzes politics, there was this debate yesterday between the government and the opposition, and they totally omitted the voices of the people living in the suburbs, of the non-white Swedish people who are marginalized. And that is the problem, because it shouldn't be between the parties. It should be between the haves and the have-nots. And the politicians all represent the haves, or the middle class, so to speak, or the white classes. So I think that before we have at least a dialogue that includes the marginalized people, we won't get anywhere.
When the parties now are talking, are they talking about racism now?
No, they're not. They never talk about racism in Sweden. And I think that has to do with the fact that the people that are victims of racism generally don't have a voice. They're not included in the discussions. As I was alluding to the example yesterday, we have the integration minister and a member of the opposition debating. I don't even see for what reason the integration minister is involved in this. Because if you look at the issues, these are social issues. This has to do with economical policies. We should have the finance minister. We should have the social minister. We should have the justice minister, you know, addressing the issue of institutional racism within the police. But what we always see in Sweden is that whenever something happens that concerns non-white people, for whatever reason, they send out this integration minister to kind of check the issue and block the issue from reaching further up into the government where actual power is wielded. So,
they talk about a cultural integration problem and not about the social problems.
I would like to know what culture is it that where it is normal to burn cars, where people just burn cars for no reason. What culture would that be? I think it's a racist assumption just to try to turn this into a cultural issue? And number two, when will these people be seen as Swedish people? I mean, the people that are burning the cars are all Swedish youths. I would say that to 99%, they're all born in Sweden. And if they're acting in ways that are anti-social or anti-establishment, not positive ways, then this has to do with Sweden, and this is a product of Sweden. And it's easy to see where this is coming from. And the OECD report shows that inequality has risen for the last 30 years. Sweden used to be this progressive country, used to be kind of a country that had progressive political initiatives. That's not the case anymore. Maybe in the rest of the world, this image still exists of Sweden. But the truth of the matter is Sweden is part of the neoliberal consensus, like the rest of Europe and like the rest of the world is, and this is the product of it.
Let's just switch to the motivation or the situation of the protesting youth, the rioters, as they called in the media. Why don't they go to the city centers or the rich neighborhoods for their protest?
You know, the thing is that actual political consciousness is lacking. And as long as that is lacking, then you will see these type of asocial behaviors which actually affects their own communities and not the structures or the authority figures that they're targeting.
Do you see at the moment an organization or group who could focus the riots into protest, give them a political direction?
Well, not really. And the other thing also is that the backlash have been very, very strong from the established sectors of society, like politicians and the mainstream media. The condemnations are so strong. So there's no chance for any kind of solidarity. And what people are doing now in Sweden, they're playing the I like to call it the condemn game. Not everyone is supposed to condemn these people and say, oh, it's wrong to burn cars. Everyone knows that it's wrong to burn cars.
The right-wing parties now pledge for strengthening of immigration law and things like this. Do the riots now backfire on the migrant communities?
I think that whenever you have marginalized people rising up, then of course the conflict will be more manifest, so we will have right-wing groups speaking up and so on. But to me, it's still healthy that people are protesting, that people are making their voices heard, because they are marginalized.